Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia EV6, the fully electric EV6 with a range of up to 528 kilometres. For more, visit kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is a number, and 5 o'clock on Saturday is the time of the Ireland versus Azerbaijan game. It won't make much difference to our inability to qualify for the World Cup next year. But anyway, it's now turned into a controversial game because of the statements and comments by this player, Callum Robinson. He's plays for West Brom at the minute. He's on loan, and he originally played for England under 17s, 16s, 17s and 19s, but then declared for Ireland. But he said today that he's not going to get vaccinated against COVID, and he's also revealed that he's had it twice already. So the basic question is, should someone who represents Ireland boast about not getting the vaccine, so to speak? Damien, you're going to Baku.
I am indeed. Good afternoon. How are you keeping?
Good. And by the way, I'm calling all our listeners in Baku or other parts of Azerbaijan, joe@rte.ie, and you can tell us about what the COVID situation is in Azerbaijan. Now, Damien, did you have to do anything before you can travel to Azerbaijan?
Yeah, well, it's obviously a tough one, really, because it's been a long trek, and the way it was, I had to get a visa to get to entry to Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
And then I also had to be fully vaccinated, plus I have to also get a negative 72-hour PCR test as well.
And is this at the behest of the airline, the travel agent, or indeed the country?
That is, so you have to, for the country itself, you have to get in. So I could actually go to Germany without my flight arrangements are Dublin to Frankfurt in Germany, and I have a 5-hour layover in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a quick stop over in Tbilisi, and then on to Baku. So, but obviously, I can get to Germany without the government guidelines with the 72-hour negative test. But if I want to get on that flight from Germany, I need that certificate in the country. So.
And you need a certificate of vaccination.
You do. You need to be fully vaccinated.
Well, how can Callum Robinson get in?
That's a good question now, and obviously there'll be a lot of debate on that. But the way I look at it, you know, the FBI and their backroom team and their medical team, obviously they'll be doing their best to keep it in, obviously, the COVID guidelines and all that, you know. So I'd be happy enough with, and obviously being realistic, it's not just Callum Robinson. There's probably, they reckon, at least 10 of the players that are not vaccinated as well. So obviously it's a difficult situation for Stephen Kenny. He probably has no luck at the minute with his management career with Ireland, you know, and obviously with COVID and all that, he got caught 2 times. Obviously Callum Robinson got it twice. But in my opinion, though, they have this high standard of medical team there, you know. Mm-hmm. So you think
he should go?
Yeah, well, like I think obviously on an Ireland point of view, we want all our best players on the field, but then if you look at it, it's probably outside of Ireland's control if the government of the Azerbaijan don't let the players in. So if I don't have a test in, I can't get in.
Well, am I correct in saying Saturday's game makes, apart from seeding in the next big competition, Saturday's game makes no difference to our chances?
Unfortunately not, though, but it would be nice for Stephen Kenny to get his first win in charge. And obviously it's going to be a very tough game out there.
What position does Callum Robinson play?
Well, at the minute, he hasn't really been starting for Ireland. He's been coming off the bench for the last couple of games. So, you have to make do with what the players you have in fairness, and you know.
Has he scored? He's a forward, isn't he? He's a striker.
Yeah, he's a forward now. So he'd be playing in the front three or in the front two.
But has he scored? Has he scored in an Ireland jersey yet?
He has. I think he's definitely scored one or two. You know, and but
if he scored, that means he's had COVID more times than he scored for Ireland. He's had COVID twice.
You could say that right now, but you know, you have to have all your best players that are available for.
So we need him. We need him. Okay, Michael Kilfoyle in Ennis, County Clare. joe@rte.ie. What do you think? Should he be representing Ireland on Saturday, Michael?
No, Joe. No, definitely not. I personally believe that we've all made sacrifices, and he's no different than you or me. As if I'm to get into my local pub here, I have to produce my COVID cert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's also there putting other players in situations of danger that they may or may not get the COVID. But I mean, them players that he's you know, meeting up with, they have mothers, their fathers, their wives, their children, and it's not good enough. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be bringing him at all.
I wonder, could he qualify Damien under the fact that he's had COVID and recovered from COVID?
No.
You know, the way I see it, if you're fully vaccinated, you can still get COVID. So everyone is taking that chance. You know, you have to be careful as an individual yourself.
No.
And obviously the FEI have their medical team, and they have a high standard of professionalism, they can own. They'll do the best to minimise contact, and they, obviously their training-wise as well, they'll be doing this exact same thing. They won't be, they'll be probably in their own bubbles as much as they can, you know. So, like you go to a pub, like this rule of not being vaccinated or not vaccinated going to a pub is probably the most ridiculous rule you can really have, really. Like,
let me bring in Ken McHugh. Ken McHugh's father was an international soccer player, famous Harry McHugh, and Ken is involved in soccer in various different levels. But Ken, Ireland, Damien's point there, Ireland will be in a bubble. You there, Ken?
I don't know about that, John.
Are you there, Ken? Bad line, is it? Okay, Michael, what do you think of Damien's point? Ireland,
in a bubble. This bubble is a myth, Joe, in the sense that only those that are in there are protected. I mean, I've been at many international games, and I've also been above in the Viva there, and I've mixed with the players on several occasions. You know what I mean? Whether it's going over to say well done or over looking for an autograph or a photograph. At the end of the day, as I say, like, I mean, the bubble is a myth. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't protect anyone. It may sound good as a protection, but it's not. People have to be responsible. We all, Joe, I was saying to your researcher there, 2 years it took me to see my grandchild because she lived in Scotland. I got to see her there 3 weeks ago. I sacrificed for 2 years.
Okay.
You know, she couldn't come home. My son couldn't come home. So we've all made sacrifices. So Callum going out there tonight representing Ireland, he's representing him to me in the wrong way, in that he may have had the COVID twice, but he's also a carrier, if that's the case, you know. So the fact he hasn't got an injection, he's also putting other people in danger.
Okay, Ken McHugh is there now, I'm told. Ken, the Irish team will be in a bubble, so that protects.
Well, no, it doesn't. What happens when you get into the dressing room? You can't go into bubbles, Joe. And as well as that, the players, when they go away, they're in single rooms now. They used to double up. So that's a certain amount of protection. But as far the information
I presume on the pitch they can't be in a bubble.
No, not at all. But the information I have from Azerbaijan is that you won't get in to Azerbaijan without a vaccination cert. So they have to play in the tarmac in the airport. They're not going to get in there. That's the problem, you know. It's going to be really embarrassing. And, you know, that's my personal opinion, but I think everybody should be vaccinated if you're playing, especially in sport, where it's virtually impossible not to be in contact with players. And I support Jurgen Klopp's position that it's like in driving. You know, I know Bielsa has insisted that Leeds United's players are vaccinated.
Okay, Niall, stay there, Ken. Niall O'Mahony. Niall, your point, please. Should he go or should he stay away?
My point there was that he obviously wasn't boasting about not having a vaccine. I'm sure he was asked the question and he answered the question. And just the way you interpret that, he's boasting and bragging about it. So I completely disagree with that. At the end of the day, he's playing for his country. If they pick him because he hasn't got a vaccine, or if he picks him that he does have a vaccine, it's all by choice. You know, what he puts in his body is his own. He can do what he wants, like, to himself.
But the problem about COVID is not what you put into your body, is what you emit from your body.
Hmm. Yeah, but at the end of the day, this vaccine's only, 18 months old? You know, So we don't know what's going to come down regarding effects.
Okay, well, let's listen. Just on that point about freedom of choice, which is the argument, let's listen to Jurgen Klopp, the manager of Liverpool. Listen to this Klopp clip.
Don't take the vaccination only to protect me. I take the vaccination to protect all the people around me. And I don't understand where that is a limitation of freedom. Because if it is, then not being allowed to drink and drive is a limitation of freedom as well. But we accept that. We are not allowed to ask people if they are vaccinated. But I'm allowed to ask a taxi driver, are you drunk? And he said, well, I don't have to tell you. And I said, okay, then I don't drive with you. So no problem. If I show up in the office, I'm drunk. So then I can go, then they can send me home or they can even sack me. But we are not allowed to ask people. I might be really a bit naive, but I don't understand it.
And it's, the sting there was, you take the vaccination now to protect people around you.
Yeah.
But Joe, again, that's Jurgen Klopp's opinion, right? I'm sure there are managers out there who would say it's your choice, but they will not play them on the radio and saying that either.
You know, Ken.
Josh, Ken. Yeah, let's put it this way. If Callum Robinson was to travel away to Far East or Africa, he'd be like a pincushion. He'd be injected against all sorts of, like, yellow fever, cholera. He'd have no choice. You know, so that's the way I see it as well. Unless you have a very, very strong medical reason why you're not going to be vaccinated, you've got to do it. Everybody, that's the regulation. And UEFA and FIFA or FAI will have to make a decision on this.
And Niall, you say he's picked for Ireland, but he's representing he's representing Ireland, and he's also a role model.
Okay, but it's his choice. He obviously doesn't agree with putting something into his body that we don't know the effects of down the line.
Well, we do.
Oh, we do know. We know what's going to happen in 5 years and 10 years when people have been...
Well, do you? I know what happened in 5 weeks, 5 months, and 15 months after people getting the vaccination. That is the hospitalization numbers and the deaths reduced significantly. By the way, let's listen to his argument. This is Caelum's measured argument as to why he's not taking the vaccination.
My honest opinion would be it's your choice. Like, I wouldn't be to say everyone should be vaccinated or you shouldn't get vaccinated. I think it's your personal choice if you want to be vaccinated. So, I haven't been vaccinated yet, no. That's my choice at this moment in time. Obviously, annoying that I've caught it twice, but my choice at this moment in time, I haven't been vaccinated. I know, as you said, there's managers and people that will want you to do it, which is right in their way of what they think, but everyone has their choice and what they want to do. I wouldn't force it on people to do it or not. It's your choice, it's your body. And we have to test before we come here, obviously, and then we've had our tests already since I've been here. So we're testing every two, three days, basically, while we're here. Yeah, you could say it's a risk, but it's a risk for everyone, do you know what I mean? You can still catch it, so...
I don't think I fully understand that, but he does say managers and people, there are managers and people who want you to do it, i.e. get vaccinated. Those people happen to be 99.9% of all the scientists in the world, all the medics in the world, all the experts in the world. And he calls them managers and people who want you to get the vaccination.
But Joe, there isn't any medication that hasn't got a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, as I said, they hear the other speaker there
to say
there could be a side effect from it. Every medication that we've ever taken, whether it's Xenadons or Panadols or aspirin, all have side effects. And at the end of the day, the medication we're getting, and you rightly said it there, that the people who are the experts have stated that there isn't a 99.9% it's okay. And we've got to believe in people.
Yeah, well, I can only speak from my experience. I have three children. I have two kids who are vaccine injured. And I have one, my third child, who wasn't vaccinated. And he is stereotypically fine. While my older fella, you know, he's a few problems. While my middle fella, as soon as he got the vaccine when he's two or three, he totally 100% regressed. And I know, obviously.
Hang on, Niall. You're gone now on a different. What vaccine are you talking about that your 3-year old got and totally regressed?
I just want to say. No, it's my opinion, Joe. That's what I'm saying.
But have you any scientific or medical background or exams passed?
Well, all I can say is he was perfectly fine, and then within a week of getting a vaccine.
Which vaccine?
I don't want to go into it.
Was it the COVID vaccine?
But all I can say is that I do know, like 99%, there are no problems. But if that 1% lands at your doorstep, then it affects you big time.
Yeah, but if that was the case, you would never leave your house.
Exactly.
But going back
to the Callum Robinson incident, guys.
Damien.
So basically, the FI have a team there that have been talking to the Azerbaijan government, and they're. So basically, if you're being called up, and obviously, so they must have struck a deal with, is because if they're in the squad and they're not vaccinated, they 3 days before they're probably flying tomorrow, or whatever it is, the game is 3 days' time. So it's only coming out now because he was asked, because.
Yeah,
obviously, they've probably researched this, and they've been in touch with the Azerbaijan government, in my opinion, to keep everything as much to the guideline as possible to get them over there, you know?
Yeah, but I doubt very much that Callum Robinson or any other player wants to play for Ireland so badly that they'll take an injection that they don't want to take. You know, if he's told, well, you can't play for Ireland unless you get a vaccine, no problem. He doesn't want to leave his family and go off travelling to the bloody Far East or wherever he's going off to play a game of football. So he's doing this for Ireland. But he's not going to get a vaccine for himself. If he's not picked, I'm sure.
Can he not get a vaccine for others? Do you follow me?
Yeah, but Joe, I want to speak for myself.
You don't believe any of this stuff.
Me personally, I'm not getting the vaccine for myself, and I'm not saying I'm right, but it should be my choice. I don't want it. I just don't want one, right? And that's for myself, right? Everybody else has freedom. 98% or whatever of the population, they can go and get it. That's their choice. But it should be.
How would you react if you refused to board a plane or refused into a pub or a nightclub or a restaurant?
Well, at the moment, I have been, obviously just been all outdoor eating. I've gone off to Spain and I had to go and get the test done, which is an inconvenience, but I got it done. So we'll just wait. If it does happen, well, they're the rules. But until they're enforced, I will not be taking. I won't feel like I should be bullied into taking one that I don't want to.
Well, who's bullying you?
No, you're just saying. Do you not think Callum Robinson should take it for the fellow people?
He should take one for the team.
Take one for the team.
Yes.
But like he's putting something into his body that he doesn't want to put in. It's not like he's taking a punch or something like that. He doesn't want something in his body, so he's perfectly.
Let's listen to Jenny's story, Joe at RT.ie. If you are listening in Azerbaijan, and can tell us what the COVID situation in Azerbaijan, by the way, is as awful as here. Jenny, what happened to you?
Hi, sorry. Just I sound a bit kind of strange just because I've had COVID. I got the Delta variant and my voice hasn't come back yet, so I kind of sound a bit like Marge Simpson at the moment. I got it from, I was fully vaccinated and I got the COVID from an 18-year-old that wasn't vaccinated. Now, the actual knock-on effect of that was that I was sick, I have asthma. I mean, to be honest with you, I wasn't that bad. I actually, as you can hear, my voice hasn't come back. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely tired all the time, and it's not, like, I work out, I exercise a lot, I keep fit, I'm very good at keeping fit, and I find that I'm absolutely and utterly floored after just going for a walk now, okay? So basically, but the knock-on effect of that was that I have a younger sister with special needs, and I have a mother who's in a nursing home, and I could not. My mother ended up, not only did my mother end up isolated in her room, but all the other residents were also isolated in their rooms. Mm-hmm. And my younger sister, who is in special needs, and she's in a really good place, was also isolated, and all of them were isolated. Nobody could go and see them. She couldn't go out. And it had a terrible mental effect on on my younger sister, who's now on antidepressants. And because, not just because it's happened with me once, it's happened over the whole concept of, over the whole lockdown, of course, it would have affected her. But just well, as soon as she thought she was coming out, she ended up going back in again, because I had visited her when I didn't even know I was carrying it. And it was only that I actually was told by the other child that he had it, that I went for a test and I found out that I had it. So basically what that gentleman is saying about not putting it into his body is that he doesn't understand how it affects everybody else and how it affects more, so many people in your community and in your family life. And I think that we all had BCGs, we all had vaccinations as
polio,
children.
Yeah.
And I do know that some of them have had adverse effects. But to suggest that, I mean, I have met so many people that have had vaccinations and not one person has had a side effect from it. So therefore, I think you're better off to get it than not to get it. Not just for yourself, for being unselfish to your community and your family.
And Jenny, how do you know, I'm sorry you got it, by the way, it sounds awful. But I have two questions. One, how do you know you got it from an 18-year-old who wasn't vaccinated?
Because the boy stayed with us while his parents were away. And he stayed with us. He's a friend.
And then how...
They felt so bad.
Okay, but I understand.
It was just because he had...
Jenny, have you had to go to hospital? Have you been in hospital?
No, I have not been to hospital,
Oh, thank God. So it hasn't been that bad. You're very lucky.
Not at all. No. It's just that I sound really worse. Like, as I said, my Marge Simpson voice. But basically, it hasn't come back yet properly. But it's just that I'm very tired. I'm very tired. Mm-hmm. But... And I'm pissed off, excuse my language, that I can't exercise like I used to. You know, I'm annoyed about that. And but also, it's just difficult to have on my elderly mum. And my younger sister was shocking. It's shocking. And my two kids couldn't go to school. And my son is doing his leaving, so it was just awful.
And how did your medics explain to you that you were vaccinated but got the Delta virus?
They didn't explain it. I mean, I kind of felt I got a high temperature. I was in bed. I started to sweat like hell. It was.
And are they saying the vaccination made a difference positively to you?
Oh, absolutely. Because had I not had the vaccination, I would have definitely ended up in ICU because I had bad asthma, and I definitely would have ended up in hospital. There is no question about it. I would have ended up in hospital. You know.
Okay.
Can Niall, in my opinion.
Niall, does that influence you in any way?
No, it's all my choice. I know the risks. If I know the consequences. But at the end of the day, it's my choice. You know, I know plenty of people.
And do you have to declare? I don't know whether you're working from home or you're...
No, I work myself. Yeah.
Okay. And do you have to declare in company or whatever? I have not been vaccinated.
No. What? Go around with a sign on me?
No. If you went into a group.
Yeah.
And someone said, is everyone here vaccinated before we begin? What would you do?
Well, I'd say straight out, no. But I don't go around with petty people like that.
Hang on. Jenny, Niall just said anyone who asks if other people have been vaccinated are being petty.
I just told you, and I'm not trying to do the soft story because my story is nowhere near as bad as many other people's who've lost their lives from this virus. Yeah. But can I just say that
5 million,
about
5 million people in the world.
Absolutely. And
what's the population of the world?
I got it from somebody that was not vaccinated.
Hang on, you're saying what's the population of the world because of what, 5 million? By the way, each one of those 5 million people is 100% dead.
What's your point?
It's 6 billion. What's your point?
So how many people die of smoking every year?
Okay, there's a campaign against smoking. Would you let your 3 year old open a packet of John Player Blue?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, then
a new injection.
Okay, so injections are as dangerous as smoking for a 3 year old.
Joe, this is my opinion. You've got your opinion.
No, I don't have... This is not my opinion. This is based on science. This is based on people who've studied it all over the world. This is based on people who've done exams. This is based on people who've been validated. This is based on people who've been verified by external... It's not your opinion or my opinion.
It's not
this is not pub talk We're sitting up at a bar. What's your opinion of COVID? Well, hey, Mick, what's your opinion of COVID? Well, this is based on scientific evidence. The minute I said 5 million dead, you tried to dismiss it?
What's the population of the world? So what's
that? Those 5 million people. Those 5 million people did not deserve to die, and they're 100% dead. Now, Jenny, sorry, I interrupted you there. Your point, Jenny. Go ahead.
Do you mind if I just put a question to Niall that I think is a very valid question, and it's not a very hard question? Now, may I ask you a question, please? If you were responsible for giving one of your friends or family COVID because you're not vaccinated, because you could easily give it, just like that poor unfortunate lad who didn't mean to give it to me, who felt absolutely awful, by the way. But, like, how would you feel if you gave COVID to somebody?
Oh, I'd feel awful. But like that, I'm sure, like a lot of people I know who have had it, they've come out 2 weeks later and it's fine.
But, like, lots of people haven't come out. But you know something? You should go into the hospitals of this country, and you should go into the hospitals of Spain and India and see how people, a slow, horrific death in many cases. And I'm really sorry for those who might be hearing what I'm saying, who may have gone through this, but it happens to be a fact. This is horrific because there is no cure for it. So I don't understand why you're just belittling the whole concept of
obviously the vaccine didn't work for you, though, did it?
It did work for me.
She's talking. She's alive.
I thought you got COVID, though.
I got the Delta variant.
Okay, so the vaccine. All right, okay, yeah.
Okay, but I got the variant. I would have ended up in ICU had I not had that vaccination. There is no question about it. I would have been 100 times worse than I was, okay? But I know for a fact that at least it protected me. But as I say to you, it's the knock-on effect of how it affects people's mental health when they end up having to be in isolation for 2 weeks. And it affects all the staff, and it affects all the residents of a nursing home. And it's had a knock-on effect on my younger sister who has special needs. And I sound like I should be taking the violin out, but it happens to be the truth. It's exactly what happened. And it had a knock-on effect with all of those people because I got the Delta from a poor, unfortunate young fella who didn't even know he'd given it to me. Okay, we just happened to be sleeping in my home. And my son was 2 inches from him playing games on their laptop, they were playing whatever games they play. We're looking at YouTube videos, and my son didn't get it. But you know what I mean? But I did. So it's just the luck of the draw. You know what I mean?
Okay, Kevin, before the break, Kevin, your point, please. Should Callum Robinson be playing for Ireland and Azerbaijan on Saturday at 5 o'clock?
No, I don't think he should. But Stephen Kenny was on the 1 o'clock news, and he said quite simply that he's having problems selecting his team because he doesn't know who is or who isn't vaccinated against COVID.
Well, he should ask them.
These guys are being tested three times a week.
My point is that they're an elite soccer team representing their country, and the manager should know exactly their medical status before he can pick their team. But I would be concerned about the players that are saying, well, I'm not going to play with them. So there's going to be a split in the camp there, because if I was a member of the Irish football team and I knew that somebody mentioned 10 earlier are not vaccinated, I would say, well, look, I'm not going. And by the way, the Irish team will not be the only members on that plane going to Azerbaijan. Members of the public, supporters will be on that plane as well. And it puts them all at risk. And he, as the manager of the Irish football team, should know the status, and his medical team should know the status of all their players and all their coaches and all their people, because they have to protect everybody, not just themselves, but the
members. And what about what Caelan Robinson said and what Niall said? It's my body, my choice.
Well, first of all, as Stephen Kenny said, he hasn't got the opportunity. He can't ask anybody, are you vaccinated? But he should know. But secondly, it might be his body, but he's going over there with 15 other players. Well, I know there's a huge panel, but he's going over with 15 other players. And they deserve to know whether he's vaccinated or not, because I certainly don't want to be hugging him if he scores a goal. So he should have kept his mouth shut.
But Damien, isn't it fair to say that Callum Robinson hasn't been starting because he had COVID and had been in people?
So
Stephen Kenny won't be able to play him on Saturday if that's the consistency.
Well, if you look at it, he's not the only one. There's at least 10 players that are not vaccinated. Okay. But the way I see it, they're in a professional kind of sports team. They're getting tested every with their clubs every second day, every day. Obviously, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm not against any vaccinated. I'd be more inclined to get people vaccinated. But obviously, they're being tested like every second day before training with their clubs and all that. They play, you know, they obviously with the international
team. But that isn't good enough for the Azerbaijani authorities. They're saying, and it's on the Department of Foreign Affairs website, they will only accept the EU double jab certificate.
And yeah, you can only leave Dublin Airport if you have the correct credentials as well. But they'll go through the VIP department. I don't know who's going to be there to check them.
Stay with us back after this break. 51551 Joe at RT.ie for you in Azerbaijan.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Well, I can tell you our phone lines and text lines are on fire because of this announcement and indeed a reaction of the Irish management that Callum Robinson says he will not take the vaccination. He said for his own reasons, and he said even though the manager and other people who want you to get it or to do it, get the vaccination. The manager and other people happen to be all the medics and scientists in the world, almost without exception. You'll always get one or two, but almost without exception. And the vast majority of our callers are saying he shouldn't be playing in a team sport if he refuses to take the vaccination. Sandra Bourne. Sandra, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm quite angry, to be honest with you, listening to that man you were speaking to, I'm sorry, I just don't remember his name, who dismissed the death of 5 million people over the world. And I could have made it 5,000,001 mm-hmm. because I was that close to death.
God.
And I just feel that I wonder if any of these people who are refusing to get the vaccine, have any of them ever stood in an ICU unit with one of their loved ones in a bed and been told they may not make it through the night. And I feel when the RT programme, excuse me, Joe, I'm like that other girl, I still have problems with my throat. I just see that programme that RT did on, the COVID and showing
inside the hospital. St. James.
And to be honest with you, Joe, I just couldn't watch it. Now, I have it recorded.
Yeah.
But it brought so much back to me.
And when were you in ICU, Sandra?
I was actually in December for Christmas 2019. And that's why it was only afterwards. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me.
Okay.
I was perfectly normal, Joe. I didn't have a sniffle.
Mm-hmm.
And within 24 hours anyway, long story short, my daughters just didn't like the sound of me on the phone.
All right.
I live alone. And they popped in to visit me and got a doctor. And again, cutting it as short as I can, I ended up in St. Vincent's Hospital at 9 p.m. And I was brought straight from triage into resus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was deteriorating in front of their eyes. Even the girls had to wash and dress me to bring me to the hospital. I have been deteriorating that quickly. Sorry, Joe, you have to excuse me.
Take your time. And Sandra, was COVID diagnosed at that stage?
No, that's the thing, Joe. And they couldn't figure out. I'm convinced, and I've spoken to doctors since, because I've had to be back to the hospital since, and they've said that it was quite likely that I did have COVID.
Okay, this is before it was officially...
But it was before it was officially acknowledged as being here.
And even if people go back to that, if they can cast their mind back to BC before COVID, last Christmas, 12 months, we were in Grafton Street on Christmas Eve. There was no issue. There was no talk about COVID in the country. There was a bubbling story from Wuhan. But as I say, the first call we got about it was from China, actually, an Irish man living in China, warning us of the dangers of it. And that was January, last January,
that's right.
12 months.
Well, that's when I was actually coming just home from hospital.
Okay. And have you been doubly vaccinated now, Sandra?
Oh, God, I have. And all my family have, Joe.
Okay.
And not only for us, because we have been there. My family stood beside my bed. And the doctors told them on Christmas Eve, that was the 22nd I was taken in. And on the 24th of December, the doctors told my family if things didn't change within 48 hours, there was no hope of recovery.
And at that stage, you're saying they didn't know what it was?
They couldn't know. To the day I left the hospital, Joe, I was intubated. I was my organs started to fail. I had got sepsis. I had blood transfusions. I had all sorts of things. But they tested me for absolutely everything. And nothing was coming up. And before I left the hospital, Joe, the day before, I had my last tube taken out on a Thursday at 5 a.m. And on the Friday, they said they wanted to do an endoscopy just to see if they could figure anything out. And when the results came back, and the consultant stood at the end of my bed, and I said, look, is there anything you can tell me, you know, or anything I could do? She said, you know, it's like a puzzle, and there's one piece missing, and we can't figure it out.
Okay.
We just don't know what happened to you. And the more, it was only when I came home, Joe, and I was listening to the radio, as I am, as you know, I listen to radio. Well, you wouldn't know, I know, I listen to radio all the time.
Yeah.
And the more I was listening to, and I said, but that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. And the blood oxygenating, I had never even heard that term before. And that was my biggest problem. They couldn't even move me from the resus to intensive care unless there were two tanks of oxygen on my bed, because I was on 100% oxygen, but my blood wouldn't oxygenate.
Okay.
And they said, if that didn't change, as their words to my daughters were, she won't recover.
Okay.
And so I did have that experience of going through everything. And as I said, bearing in mind, Joe, it came on so quickly. And I have no memory of even that day. I have no memory of getting ill. I have no memory of my daughters being here or being brought to the hospital. I don't remember any of that. And my temperature was shot through the roof, apparently, when I was in resus. They had come down from the ICU and they said, look, she's borderline. Now, obviously, I didn't know any of this. She's borderline, but they came back down soon after and they said, no, she has to be moved.
Well, I'm glad to hear you recovered. I really am. And I'm glad to hear that you're double vaccinated. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for cutting across you.
Really?
That is the other thing that I'd really like to get across. It's like the other girl said, it's the long COVID. I am still suffering to this day. It took me a year before I could go for a walk again. I had to learn how to sit again. I couldn't use my limbs. I was paralyzed basically from the neck down. You're like a new baby, only for a new baby can move their limbs. I couldn't move my limbs. So I had to start, my legs had to be lifted out of the bed eventually. That's after learning to sit on my own. And I had to go to speech and language therapy. I had to learn to use my arms again and my legs. And I could not move. If I walked into my garden, Joe, and cut a few of the, you know, hedges or something, I would be zonked out. I did it for the first time and I couldn't move for 2 days.
Okay, say there, Sandra. I want to bring in Paul Bourke. Sorry for holding you, Paul. Paul is an Arklow. Back to the debate. It's not about a 26-year-old. It's about the fact that there's a soccer player who's representing Ireland and in a team sport on a pitch and is saying, I'm not vaccinated and I will not be getting vaccinated and I've had COVID twice. What do you think, Paul?
I think he should be ashamed of himself because he's a role model to young people. God only knows enough people after passing with COVID. Like we lost two family members though, within 4 days of each other. And it's a slap in the face. I'd be honest with you, the whole family anyway. And I say it's a slap in the face to every other family. If he doesn't want to get vaccinated and he's such a public figure, he doesn't have to stand up on a pedestal and start beating his chest and saying, I didn't get vaccinated. Keep it to himself. Stand away from the Irish team.
But on the other hand, you could admire his courage for saying, I'm not vaccinated and I'm not getting vaccinated.
Is he becoming a public figure for the anti-vaxxers? You have to ask that question. Is he being asked to do this? Is he being asked to come out and say it? And he's not.
I presume he hasn't.
We don't know what's going on in the background.
Okay.
But I just think, Joe, I swear to God, it's a slap in the face for all those people that lost their lives. It really is a slap in the face.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to the match on Wednesday night. in next Tuesday night, sorry, in Knockdown Road.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a football fan, like, but he's not representing me. I can tell you when he gets out, if he goes out on that field. And that other guy was on about being in bubbles. If he's in a tackle and he falls on top of another player.
How can a soccer team be in a bubble unless they all just sit down in their
unless
own box?
That bubble football thing you can play where you all get inside these things and they're all around the pitch bumping into each other, unless that's the game they're going to play.
Okay.
I think he should step away, and I think that the manager has a lot to answer.
Well,
the
FAI, like any other organisation, the FAI happened to have the franchise in Ireland for the international soccer team. But the FAI, like any other organisation, can say everyone here has to be vaccinated. You can do it in any mandatory in a company, it can be mandatory in an organisation. Okay, leave it at that, Paul, for the time being. Condolences on the death of the passing of two of your relatives from COVID. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie, we're talking about, and people are contacting us about, and it's trending all over the place in terms of the volume of people on our screens about the statement. And he was answering a question, and you can also admire his courage in telling the truth. Of Caelan Robertson is due to play for Ireland on Saturday in 5 o'clock in Azerbaijan and Baku, that he's not been vaccinated and will not be getting vaccinated, even though, as you said, managers and other people who want you to do it. Noel Chillingworth. Noel, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Okay,
what's... Joe, I was just like that man I was there about up to eight weeks ago. The frame of mind I had was that I'm not going to get this COVID because I'm a Christian. But the nurse said to me, are you going to get this vaccine? And I said, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to get this COVID. And then over the few weeks, mm-hmm. I started thinking. I'm talking to a lot of people where I live in Balla Adrian, and I said, what if the Lord did allow me to get this COVID? What if it happened that someone gave it to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I transmitted it to other people. Anyway, after a long debate with myself, I ended up and I got the two vaccines and I have my passport now. But I was exactly like that man, the frame of mind. And I would say that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I was super stupid. The evidence is there for all to see. It's there. Yeah. There's 5 million people who have died in Ireland. 5,000 people in Ireland that have died alone. And that's the evidence in itself, and there's no excuse. And we can't make excuses for these people because they are the ones that are feeding it, that actually igniting that fire under people who already believe what they've heard of this fake news and all this. They're stoking that fire there.
Yeah.
And what has to happen there is don't give them any airtime. Don't talk to them. Don't sympathise with them. Just cut them off.
Okay, but you had a Paula and you had the masking conversion. But where did you, just in your original position, I was against getting the vax because I was a Christian, but the Pope got the vaccine, the Bishops' Conference in Ireland urged people to get the vaccine. Where were you taking your original position from?
I was taking it from the Holy Bible that God said nowhere, nothing would come near your house like that. The Old Testament tells us that, and I believe that with all my heart.
And what changed your mind then?
It was common sense. I thought, if God did allow me to get this vaccine, this COVID, and I was to pass that on to people that I know, that I meet every day, How would I feel about that? And people died, and it was my fault.
Okay.
And this man seems to just push aside all those people that have died in these care homes.
Well, in fairness, what he did say in terms of the vaccination, Callum said, the manager and people who want you to get it. Well, the people who want you to get it are the people who know about it, the people who've studied it, the people who've studied for decades, years, millions of years between them, this whole area, exams, 7 years, 8 years in the college or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. No, stay well and stay safe, Noel Chillingworth. God bless you, Noel, and mind yourself. Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Mairead Power's been holding on. Should Caleb Robinson play for Ireland on Saturday after revealing, it was a result of a question, that he has not been vaccinated, he's had COVID twice, not been vaccinated and will not be getting vaccinated. Mairead.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm really not ringing about Caleb Robinson, really. I was ringing about that other man. But anyway, I don't think he should play for Ireland if he's not vaccinated. I was just ringing about the other man that came on there. I think Peter was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very anti-vaccination. Yeah. And I'm sure he's gone at this stage. But yeah. I just wanted to ask the question, like, if he was unfortunate enough to get the virus and mm-hmm. get very ill from the virus, like, what would happen to him? Would he like to be taken into the hospital, or would he not want to go to the hospital, or would he not want to get treated and maybe die from the virus? I just wondered what his thinking on that would be if he was unfortunate enough to be very, very ill from the virus, like so many, 5 million people have died. It's not just an off chance, you know, there's a good chance if you got it and you got very ill that you mightn't recover from it. So I just wondered, would he like to be admitted to hospital, and would he like the nurses and the doctors to care for him, or would he be against that, or what is his thoughts on if he was really ill, would he consider going to the hospital, or would...
Okay, well, I think anyone who listened to Peter would be able to compose their own answer to that. But Mairead, thanks indeed. It's Mairead Power. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
The argument has turned into, obviously, a vaccination, anti-vaccination. Your story, please, Catherine.
Yeah, a very good friend of mine, who was also a former childminder of mine, about a year ago, she was working for some other company at this stage. I'd asked her had she got vaccinated, and she said no. And I asked her why not, because I knew she'd underlying health conditions. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gave me a wishy-washy answer. But anyway, a year later, in March, we went over to her birthday, because she's really part of the family. And my kids are more grown up now. And I asked her again, was she vaccinated? And she said, no, she didn't get vaccinated. And I challenged her, why not? And she started saying, oh, in my community, we don't really believe in it, and we think it has all these terrible side effects, and we don't know what they are. And there's all these other theories, you know, the anti-vaxxer theories.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually read her the Riot Act, and even my children were there. And they said, they said, Mom, don't be so mean to Mary. We call her Mary.
Yeah.
Because I said, I'm not being mean to Mary. I'm explaining to Mary that she's actually putting herself at enormous risk. Anyway,
What about the argument, it's personal choice?
No, I don't buy that, because it's not about just the person themselves. Just to give you the example of Mary, she ended up in ICU. She caught the virus. Next thing, I got a text from her saying, she unfortunately is in ICU, which was a huge shock to me. And she had been admitted 4 days earlier. It so happened that my sister had swabbed her, which she told me because my sister works in the HSE. So 10 weeks later, which was only this mm-hmm. week or in the last week or two, she's just come out of ICU but is still needing oxygen. Now, I visited her when she was in ICU, and it was an extremely scary place to be, Joe. I was like an astronaut going in.
Okay.
And I really feel strongly that people who are... Now, she regrets it. I know she regrets it. She texted.
Okay, she regrets not getting the vaccine.
She regrets it big time, and she regrets not listening, and she regrets listening to this echo chamber.
Okay, Catherine, I just want to bring... Thank you, indeed, but I want to bring Thomas in as well, making an important point like yourself. Thomas Gray, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thank you. I'm good. I'm vaccinated. So it's all the family was waiting on. She's too young for it. But I was just listening to the program on the old phone. You know, I know he doesn't want to take the vaccine, but I have a sad story to tell you about what happened to my first cousin, Paul Donnelly. On the 13th of September, I got a phone call and a text from my cousin in London, Fiona, saying that Paul was in hospital and he was in ICU. Okay. And he was dying. And would anyone like to go in and see him? And I couldn't, after my mother dying on her own, I said, I can't let that. Paul and me were very good friends. And
so your mother unfortunately died from COVID. And you said Paul was he in ICU?
He was in ICU and he was in the COVID ward.
What happened?
I went in to see him. I had to get gowned up, as that lady said, and go and hold his hand and say goodbye to him. And late, I couldn't hang around. They wanted me to be there when they switched off the machine, and I couldn't hang around to see that part happening. And they switched off the machine.
Oh,
and unfortunately, the guy died, 51 years of age.
From COVID.
Okay. And he was admitted 6 weeks. He was in the hospital for 6 weeks. They tried everything to get him to come back, but he didn't come back. And he was such a character. He was a Queen's Counselor in London. Patrick Mayhew taught him in school, and he became a Catholic. His father and mother were obviously my uncle.
Oh, my God,
and he was the first Catholic to be getting the job. And I hear these people, anti-vaxxers and anti-this and anti-that. It's for the good of the other people.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Such a strong point to leave it on. And God rest Paul. Thanks indeed. And indeed your mother, Patricia Thomas. Thanks indeed.